I got to tell you about my mom. We were up there eating dinner with her Tuesday night, and I played back parts of the Sunday school lesson. You know, she said, "I really enjoy that." She asked, "Who have you got in the Sunday school class?" And I named them all off. And she said, "Well, where is your Sunday school class?" And I said, "Well, I'm downstairs." I said, "I'm in between Clint Fredericks and Jimmy Smith." And she said, "Oh, it's a wonder you got anybody in that class." So, love you too, Mom.
Well, people are going to realize this is semi by design.
Yeah.
Having a small class.
Yes, very much so. I enjoy a small class.
There's not many thirds in the church.
That's the other thing.
There's not. You're looking at it.
So it's either down below or.
Well, I'm not even 30 anymore, so.
No, that's right. You need to be. Yeah.
Well, right yonder, and this one right here.
Fingers.
Or get ready to.
Well, I mean, a lot of your thirties are teaching class.
Yeah. Well, they're not a lot of thirties. This 30-something generation was kind of lost here at church. We didn't really have a young married's class. This was my burden when I took over as Sunday school superintendent. So, if you think about it, these two classes are new. They weren't here before. The ladies' class is new. So I feel like my tenure as Sunday school superintendent was pretty good. We added three new classes, and we've reclaimed a generation. We're going to build on this. So I'm glad y'all are here. I know Jimmy's good, and I know Clint Fredericks is good, and I'm glad y'all are here.
I like them
all.
You're my uncle, but I'll enjoy
this class. Mom always has a way of keeping me humble, though. She, when I became Sunday school superintendent, she said, "Well, now, what do you do?" And I said, "Well, you know, Mom, I'm Sunday school superintendent. I have to make sure all the classes have teachers in them." And it's just, "Well, yeah, but what is it you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm back there in the mornings. I'm making sure everything is taken care of." And she said, no, what do you do?" And I said, "Nothing." She said, "Okay." She was going to stay on until I admitted. You know, after something's been running for 40 years, everybody's got their job. I mean, Mike Prim's been ringing the Sunday school bell even before he got out of primary boys. He would leave class early just to go ring the bell so everybody else can get out early. And everybody's been doing their job for a long time, so the smartest thing you do is don't mess anything up. But Mom keeps me humble. All right, we are in Genesis chapter 2 today. We have moved on to the second chapter. Aren't you glad? Now, studying chapter 2, we recognize right away that this is kind of a creation review. So, with that being said, I have some questions for you. Are you ready? Question number 1. How many days of creation are there? She said 6. That's right. Because why?
The seventh day he rested.
That's right. Very good. See, y'all have caught this part pretty good. Next question. Which came first, the plants or man? Heather's nodding. It must be right. Rodney's just got his eye. He's waiting for somebody to mess up today. Plants came first. Now, let's see if you actually read chapter 2. Because this question is, which came first, the garden or man? Man came first.
In
the garden. Isn't that interesting? When you come to Genesis chapter 2, verse 3 says, "God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that he had rested from all his work which God created and made." And verse 7 says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And then verse 8 says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed."
So what did you do with the man in the meantime?
That's an interesting question, isn't it?
I think it could just be reiterating itself again. You know, he's telling that you made man, then he's saying that he made, you know, a garden.
I say God planted a garden. That's what he's saying.
Okay. Verse 8 says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." And then verse 9 says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." So what did God do with the man before he put him in the garden?
Just out
somewhere. So God created a man, and then he said, what am I going to do with this? He said, okay, hold on just a minute. There you go. I think it is interesting to note here that God made man first and then made a perfect place for a man to live. The garden was created for man, not man for the garden. That's the point. And I don't think there was that much time in between so that God had to do something else with it. Yeah, I'm recording. We'll get to that point in just a minute. But that's really, I like that kind of thinking. That's the kind of thinking that can get you in trouble, but it can also open up some really interesting thoughts to you. All right, we've already talked about this one. Who planted the garden? God planted the garden. Next question, who names the animals? Adam names the animals. Very good. You guys have paid attention in Sunday school before. Almost makes me think I need a flannel graph up here, don't you? Just put the flannel graph on it. Oh, was she? Well, good. Now, I just read this verse, so how many trees are mentioned? By name? 1, 2, 3, 4.
The tree of life and the tree of knowledge.
Yeah. That's right. Now, which one got him in trouble?
Knowledge.
Tree of knowledge of good and evil got him in trouble. Knowing right from wrong, doing right and shunning wrong. Boy, two different things, isn't it? I know it's wrong, but... And there you go. All right. Next question. How many rivers?
One.
Verse 10. Yeah, four heads. I call it four rivers. There was a river that parted and became four heads, so I call it four rivers. I should have brought you a picture. We know about the Tigris and the Euphrates. They are mentioned here.
You ever try to look at that on the map and see where the Garden of Eden might have been?
Yeah, I have done that.
We were trying to do that.
Flood kind of scrubbed all that off, didn't it? Yeah. But
it does mention Ethiopia.
Yeah. It does mention that. What they have done lately, though, is they've taken some satellite pictures of that area. The Tigris River and the Euphrates River are still there, but there's a river that goes out on each side, a dry river bed that you can still see from satellite photographs. So there's that one river that comes down and it splits and goes in four different directions. In a 180-degree arc, they go in four different directions. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Just sort of now, here at the end, with satellite imagery, can you kind of see what people believed for thousands of years? But we can't believe anything anymore. We've got to see it. So all these scientists are going, dry riverbed, So, next question. Who was assigned to tend the garden? Well, you're right, Adam and Eve. I just put down Adam, but Eve was also there to attend the garden. So I'll give you that one. Hate to be wrong, but I'll give you that one. Now, Here comes the interesting question. How many days are covered in Genesis chapter 2? How many days of creation? She's just going for one. Well, then let's see.
It's kind of hard to say exactly.
Well, let me read a little bit while you think about it, all right? We'll start at verse 18. Let me read this. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to all fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So what all has been happening here? The Lord God made all the beasts, the field, fowl of the air, brought them to Adam, and Adam named every one of them. And then God made a woman, brought the woman to Adam. How long does that take?
We're talking about God here, I can see it.
In our eyes, it could be years, but...
So how many days are we talking about?
I mean, if you read it, it just seems like one day.
Does it just seem like one day, or does it seem like lots of days?
I mean, in my mind, it seems like lots of days. Years. It's
like, you know what
I'm saying? 3 days. I don't have a clue.
Let's
Come
back
on,
up.
Where scripture it tells this.
Let's back up to chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 24 in chapter 1. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. So here he's creating all the animals, right? And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. This is where he's made all of them. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. God said, "Be fruitful, and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Boy, Peter would just get ticked off right about there, wouldn't he? Verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So how many days are we talking about?
I still don't see that.
It's one day.
It's the same day, but one day. Adam is still human.
Yeah.
Adam's going to have to name every creature.
Yeah.
In a day.
Yeah, well, yeah.
6 days.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says the sixth day.
They said he created them on the sixth day. They didn't say that he named them on the
sixth day. Well, kind of said he did, yeah.
Yeah, he did too. Right here on.
In a literal 24-hour day. Now, this is, just think about this. In a single day, God created man. He created all the animals. He brought the animals by, and man named every animal in that day.
That's in chapter 2. It's not in chapter 1 where he created the animals.
I know. It's just still in the same book. I'm hanging on to that one day.
This is the sixth day.
This is
6 days he created.
Yeah.
And he created the heavens and the earth.
in the process of name, now this is where I know what you're saying. He could have created all the animals, then he could have paraded them by over a period of months or years. But where we come into a problem with that is this. In the process of Adam naming the animals, Adam discovered there wasn't anybody or anything like him. God already knew that, but Adam didn't. In the process of that, Adam discovered there wasn't another like him. And then God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and God created Eve. So if you put the months and the years in there, then you're saying that creation continued on past those 6 days of creation.
Because of Eve.
Because of Eve. Eve was the last part of this progressive creation. Since Eve, there haven't been any new things crawl out. Okay? Maybe that wasn't a good way of phrasing that. Since Eve, there has been no new creation. Let's leave it at that. There have been no new creatures since. No, not even word creatures. Oh, this is, woman was the crowning creation. I'm just thinking, getting in trouble left and right here now.
So where does it say that woman was created in chapter 1?
Latter part of chapter 1.
Where it says male and female created.
Mm-hmm. So all I can say is Adam was busy.
Busy.
He was very busy. Maybe the days were long.
Well, the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You could argue that, and this is, now, hang on with me. I have discussions with my daughter sometimes that border on useless, okay? She reads about things that you go, one of the interesting discoveries about time, we think of time as just moving steadily along, but they have actually proven that time does not run in a smooth, steady, linear fashion. It appears to us that it does, and for the sake of physics, they actually have what they call a time constant. You can look that up on the internet, time constant. It's a number they plug in when they're talking about time to assume that time runs at a regular interval, but it really doesn't.
I guess the time constant is going to be the average.
Yeah, pretty much. They explained this on one of those NOVA programs. You've seen a clock, how it ticks and the hands move. That's actually the way that time moves. We think of time moving slowly and smoothly along, but it jumps. What that means, I don't really know. I know that when you're having a good time, time flies. And when you're having a bad time, time really, really slows down. When we were moving yesterday, somebody was mentioning about when their mother-in-law moved in. And they were only there, he said, I think it was 2 months, but it felt like 20 years. And you kind of understand, you know. Time sometimes just slows down. You could argue that that might have been what happened there, that in this local area where Adam was, that time slowed down. Because Adam had a lot to do. You could also argue that there's not nearly as many animals then as there are now. I mean, we talk about, how did Adam name them? Did he name every specific kind of bug? Or did he say, those are bugs? And did he name every particular kind of cattle? I mean, the only thing I know is rare, medium, and well done. But
he could just say monkey or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Snake.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about monkeys, snakes, gorillas, and elephants, you know, that pretty much, you know, You could argue both of those things. I think it does take a measure of faith to say God said one day, and I'm going to accept one day. But something else that I want you to think about moving on here. Look at verse number 18, chapter 2. Verse 18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. That's what God said in verse 18. This is before Adam realized he was alone. Adam had fellowship with God, and Adam was satisfied in that relationship, I am sure. But then God brought along this notion that man should not be alone. And now when we look down at verse number 23, after the woman was created is when Adam speaks. And Adam makes this proclamation that this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. But have you noticed that wives do not like to be referred to as woman? I tried that yesterday with Betty. I said, woman?
What'd you have to get off the ground?
I got that look over the top of my glasses for sure. And
see her cut them eyes down.
I don't know why it is. I mean, this is what Adam named them, right, guys?
That's what it says.
Women do not appreciate that name. I think it's that deep-seated rebellion that comes to the front when you refer to them like the God-given name through Adam.
I'm not in agreement with that.
Yeah.
I just ask her if you don't like it.
Woman? Okay, I'll pick those up later.
Just kick them one more time.
I'm afraid to take my eyes off the woman in this room. All right, any differences that you see between chapter 1 and chapter 2?
Detail? A lot more detail.
One chapter covers all 6 days of creation, plus the fact that God rested. Yeah. Chapter 2 starts with God rested, and then takes that sixth day and goes into great detail about it. That means something. And Jesus later on said that the Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. It starts out with a day that God rested, a day that men should focus on God. And here we are on Easter Sunday. We want to take the law and make it apply to where we can beat other people over the head with it. But a day when we could just contemplate God, when we have a relationship with God, what a refreshing time that is. There is a refreshing thing about being in God's presence. Don't lose that. This is what chapter 2 started out with. And then it goes through everything that happened. You are God's creation. And I want to take time and have the women talk. I wish we had time this morning. Men, I don't think we really understand how women think. Would any of you care to?
No,
I
don't.
No.
Bonnie does, because I tell them.
No, you try. You try to tell it. See, I try to listen.
Either that or on a list.
Yeah, oh, the list, yeah. You try and tell us, but what we hear is wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
And we may be looking at you. We're really trying, but we hear
usually,
wah, wah, wah.
She's usually breaking up when she's talking.
Oh, yeah.
That's one part of chapter 1 God forgot to do was make men to where they can read a woman's mind.
Oh. He did that as a blessing to us, because if we really knew what they were thinking. But perhaps next week we'll take a little time and let the women think, talk, and we'll try and pay attention to what they're saying. Because to be a woman is very different from being a man. I sort of understand being a man. I don't at all understand being a woman. My wife was moaning about the fact she wished her daughters were nearby because they would understand. Here we were trying to help Daniel move, and all these women come in and do things, and the guys are, standing over in the corner waiting for instructions, because we know that's what we're supposed to do. And women just know what they're supposed to do. And some of the instructions that men get, if it involves nailing on something, hitting something with a hammer, we can do that. If it involves pulling something off and throwing it, we can do that. But if it involves, like cleaning something or putting something away neatly or arranging something, y'all need to pray for Daniel. Daniel did a terrible thing. He was trying to help. He was packing. He was moving. At their wedding, they had this unity sand, where they poured the different color sand.
Yes.
Yeah. Daniel knew he needed to be really careful with that, so he laid it down and wrapped it. See, every woman here is going.
See, I was like, well, he laid it down and wrapped.
He wrapped it. It didn't break, but it's no longer. The front half, because I think Dara freaked and stopped him before he rolled it too far, but the front half of it is still kind of layered, but then it drops off.
There you go.
It's nowhere near funny now. It will be funny someday. All the women understand that, but Daniel was, he said, you know what, we're still married. And I kept saying, but if you're not careful.
And the dog has a shield.
Oh, yeah.
You need to shake it.
Yeah. And you don't just straighten it out that way. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't, no. So anyway, that's kind of what moving does. Being men and women are different. Take away from today, you are God's special creation. You are the only creation that God reached down and loved enough that he sent his only begotten son for. Jesus today, we remember, was nailed to a cross. He died. He was buried. But we remember today the tomb is empty. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We are his special creation. Next week, we're going to talk about chapter 3. I want you coming prepared to talk about everything you know about sin. And we're not talking about your spouse.